Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and our Brain Trust members, and you can listen to the show in lots of different ways, streaming it, podcasting it, whatever, lots of stuff there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And also our blog is there, so check all that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. And as you also probably know by now, and if you don't, you should know that there is no barrier to entry in any of our websites. Whatever we have, you can have it for free. Just come there and show up, and we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use all our stuff, including all the stuff that Janet Christie has deposited with us over the years, all the wisdom and tips and pointers and best practices that she's deposited with us over the years. She is one of the world's experts on women business ownership. She specializes in that, helping women put their best foot forward in the marketplace, and she's the author of Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned, and she's our good friend. Janet, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. So, Janet, anybody who's been listening to my show for very long knows that I am fairly disdainful of grants, and especially of the idea that a business owner would go about seeking a grant. What do you think?
Well, there are no grants, first of all, so I just put out my 2008 Top 10 Resolutions for Women Business Owners, and stop looking for free money is still number one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I tell them Grant died.
Yes, he did. Long before we were born.
Exactly. And so, but there still are people out there, and sadly, there are now, wait a minute. Let's back up a minute. The truth is, you and I are going overboard just a little bit, because there are such things as grants. There are people who get grants. But a commercial small business, a commercial business, is not going to be successful going out looking for those grants. They're typically associated with some kind of research, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. If a grant actually goes to a business, it is primarily for research or something very, very different and unique. But normally, they go to centers or organizations that work with a lot of small businesses or women-owned businesses.
And it's not going to be because you need more capital to grow your business, to buy more inventory, to survive, or to start up. You're not going to get a grant for any of that, are you?
No, it's primarily either to help a lot of people, which in turn helps the economy, or it's designed to directly help the economy.
And it's typically, when it is given to a business, it's to blend in with what that organization already has, and if it's seen that company isn't going to survive without this money, they're not going to give them the money.
Oh no, because that's not a good investment of their money.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the other thing I tell, and I get this question all the time, Janet, as you probably do too. I hear this all the time. Where can I get a grant? And I just say, you know what? Your competitors that you're going to be going up against, if you start a business, you're going to be going up against competitors that have never sought a grant, have never needed a grant. They've somehow been able to make it on their own in the commercial marketplace without a grant. If you have to have a grant to get going or to survive, you're not going to be competitive.
No, what large business or government entity wants to do business with somebody that has to ask for a handout to survive?
Right, exactly. So how do we get this message across to people, Janet, so that, that we don't we sort of educate them and get them motivated in the correct direction without really just ruining their whole day. What do we do?
Well, I think one thing that can happen is you said that your listeners know that there's not any grants because of what you talk about and the people
that come exactly up. Right.
But I think we need a little proselytizing. I think those people need to go out and tell their friends because that's who they're going to believe. Because what I find is that a lot of people want to believe that there's grants. So,
yeah.
Therefore, when we see these commercials from these charlatans that say there are grants, they want to believe that, so they do. And I think that the government agencies are going to have to do more education. We're doing something in South Carolina, my home state. The governor's office has a department or an office that works with the women and minority-owned businesses to get them certified and to help them have advantages and promote the use of these businesses within government agencies. And they have a trade fair every year. So this year we're going to do a panel, and they've asked me to moderate it, but it's going to be about the myths and fallacies behind the people thinking that there are these grants. And so we're going to show that there aren't any grants, but there are lots of loans, some of them almost no interest loans.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even loans for as little as $5,000. So when you go to the bank,
micro loans.
Yes, exactly. That's what they call them. And
so in other words, Janet, what we're saying, folks, we're not saying that there's no access to capital. We're not saying that what you really need, which is capital, we're not saying that that's not available to you. We're just saying that if you want a grant, if you're seeking a grant, two things. Number one, that's a bad attitude to have if you're going to be a commercial business. Number two, it's a bad practice because it's not out there.
Right. Even though there are books and people who come to town and hold seminars and say there's grants, those people are taking advantage of you, and that needs
right.
to be said.
Absolutely. I agree. 100%. But there is money available. There is capital available. But it's from people who are in the business of loaning or investing, some investing, but mostly loans, isn't it, Janet?
Yes.
Hold on to that thought, Janet. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll come right back after these messages and talk some more about this, especially about being woman-owned, because that's what Janet's an expert at. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Here are the Stones to take us out.
Hi, Jim Blassingame. This is Gary Moore, author of Faithful Finances 101. I just wanted to say congratulations on 10 years of service on the radio to small business owners everywhere. It's hard to believe that a man of your humility and quiet demeanor could have that long a career in radio. We're very, very proud of you.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour, visiting with our good friend Janet Christie. We're talking about folks, Janet's a woman-owned business expert, and her book is called Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. That's her expertise. But, Janet, the things that we're talking about right now are for every small business, regardless of male, female, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. But talk to us. By the way, before we go any further, tell us how we can find your book and give us your website, please.
Well, the book is available at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com, and most of the time it's available in any local bookstore.
Right.
And, of course, my website is the name of my company, which is Leverage and Development. So it's www.leverageanddevelopment.com. And if that's too hard, you can always find me at janetchristie.com.
All right, that's a good one. And that's Christie with a Y. And
yes.
Janet, and by the way, do you help women get 8A certified?
I mainly work with women getting certified in as a woman-owned business within a state or Department of Transportation or the national organizations. I have worked with the 8A, But there's so many, like you have to have a personal worth of $250,000 or less to be 8A certified.
Right.
And with that being a developmental program that's mm-hmm. 9 years, a lot of people are not ready to commit to that. So
I don't have
as many requests for that.
But you do help women. If women want to find out how to be able to do business with the government or government contractors and to tap into that whole marketplace, you do help women do that, don't you?
I do, and I help them figure out how to find partners or find those partners so that they
right.
can actually take advantage of some of the larger projects.
Why does there need to be someone who helps women in this area, and when there's not really someone who says, I'm a man-owned business expert?
I think because I like to say that in this country we are resource-rich but process-absorbed. So I think there are so many resources out there, some of them credible, some of them complicated, some of them not quite so credible. So I think it's hard for women to navigate through the whole thing, and it almost takes an interpreter, which is what I try to serve as.
Mm-hmm. But why do women need that? Explain why you think women need that extra help.
I think that a lot of women are coming from working for someone else, and either they have decided they want to get more control of their time because they've got small children, or they've just had enough and they're through with those experiences and they're old enough and sort of established enough that they want to start their business. That's the two type I see. And I think that because of their situations in the past, they aren't used to being the one in charge or asking for the contract. I think that women sometimes don't give themselves permission to be mm-hmm. successful when successful means making money.
If I could give a man a gift, I would give him the gift of not letting his ego get himself into trouble. If I could give a woman a gift, I would give her the gift of self-confidence. What do
yes.
you think?
I agree totally. I think that we just don't.
And those,
say
those,
it,
that's,
okay?
those aren't those are I'm not those aren't put downs. Those are just realities, aren't they?
Yes. And I used to think, being a Southern belle myself, I used to think it was Southern women, but as I work with women all over the United States, it's not the case. It's the same pretty much everywhere.
So what do we have to do to help women gain that self confidence?
I think we just have to keep chipping away one at a time and giving them permission. And in my workshops, I try to start out with that, saying it's okay to make money and it's fine to ask for the sale and it's not rejection of you personally if they don't. I try to take some of that personalization out of it when they're making those cold calls or calling on somebody to explain about their business.
Right.
That it's not a rejection of them,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay to ask. I mean, this is leap year. You know, the women ought to be asking for the sale.
Well, and you know, the other thing is, boys, men are conditioned from when they're boys to ask, aren't they? I mean, we're the guys who, well, at least maybe in my day, Janet, boys call girls and said, "Do you want to go out this weekend?" I don't know how it is these days, Shannon. I don't even think I want to know. But seriously, you know, we boys grew up doing stuff like the girls, not so much. And it transfers into the marketplace, doesn't it?
Yes. And I remember when I was in high school, first of all, I couldn't call boys. You know, we only had one phone in the house and no cell phones, and it was regulated. The second thing is my mother insisted that I take typing in high school because I might have to get a job.
As a secretary.
Yeah,
that was the idea. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a conditioning thing, but it's something that all of us, men and women, can get over. We just need to, maybe sometimes we need a little help, and that's what we got Janet Christie for. Janet, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Will you come back another day?
Oh, absolutely.
Southern
Please
Bells ask. Are always welcome here, Janet.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Quick break, right back with our good buddy John Fox, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me.
This ain't no place for losers or the unison of life.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.